And welcome to Discovery Community Church. We'd like to invite you all to stand with us as we begin our worship this morning.
Highest, go ahead and take a seat. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. We're so glad that you chose to worship here with us today, and Merry Christmas. Yeah, we are close. So if you haven't done all your shopping, it's not too late. Or maybe you make something. Macaroni is like on sale right now. So listen, welcome in to Discovery once again. We're going to have Christmas Eve service here in a few days, but it won't be here in the cafeteria. So if you would join us for Christmas Eve service, we're going to be in the auditorium. And one of the things that we've done to enable you to communicate with those that you love and your neighbors that you may know or may not know is we've placed these invite cards in your folder. So if you came in and got a worship folder today, you'll find these in there. Not only that,
that, if you want more of these, if you need more of these, you'll find them right back in our connection area. So we want to be able to empower you to invite folks to come out. After Christmas, we'll be back here on January 4th. So if you come back after Christmas Eve, we'll be right here. And next Sunday, December 28th, we won't have service here. So if you show up, it's going to be weird for you because there won't be anybody here. But what we're going to do is we're going to provide you with a worship at home kit, which will have worship songs, some sermon outline, and a videotape sermon that you can watch with your family and friends. And again, we'll be back in the cafeteria on January 4th. So I lost my voice at a basketball game, so that's why I sound like this. We lost. It's not about that. Here's what you can expect today. We're going to have a time of reflection in Advent. We're going to move into moving our Advent forward. We're going to sing some songs together. Pastor John is going to come and give God's word. I'm really excited about that. We'll have time for worship and prayer and time for communion. So if you came ready to partake in communion, we'll have that opportunity for you here today. But what I'd like to do right now, I'm very excited to welcome the Numoa family to do our Advent reading. Let's give them a hand. The most beautiful babies in the Pacific Northwest.
All right, hello everyone. So our first reading is Isaiah 9:2. This is Hiram. And I'm Celeste, this is JJ, and this is our newest addition, Nalea. Here. Okay, Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. They live in the land of shadows, but now the light is shining on them.
This fourth candle reminds us that God demonstrates his love by sending his son Jesus to be born in a manger, to suffer and die for our sins so that we may live forever with him. Jesus, you are the Savior of the world.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Let us pray. Jesus, you are the one and only Son of God, who so loved the world that he sent you to be here with us now. And when you died and rose again, we are forever with you. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us.
Would you stand and continue it as we continue our worship this morning? God, we thank you so much for love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for sending him, and I pray that you would help us to remember your love and to share that with everyone around us.
Stars in the sky. If you've been if you bear his name, sing this song forever to the Lamb. We will sing this song forever.
Seated for a moment. We typically have a couple of moments of prayer at this time, and so I'm going to invite you to just take a moment with me of prayer. And most of us, as we walk in on a Sunday morning, there's stuff. There's things that you're carrying. Some of you, your stuff is just joy. Like, it was a great week. You had a great weekend. You just got some stuff to celebrate. And I'd like you to just keep this time of worship. Just take a minute, and when everybody's heads are bowed, you bow your head and say, God, I'm so grateful. Thank you. Some of you got stuff that's heavy, and you're not sure how you're going to carry it. Maybe there's some feelings of failure and discouragement. I mean, maybe you just muscled your way here this morning, like, and just... It's felt like hurdle after hurdle after hurdle, and somehow you're here, but you're not sure if you're all here. I just want you before God just to be honest about it. You can say, God, I'm not all here. I'm still thinking about that fight. I'm still thinking about that hurt. I'm still thinking about that violation. And just for a couple minutes, just be you with God, okay? And so I'm going to invite you just right now, just bow. And the piano's going to play, and you talk to God. No games, no performance, just be you for a minute. Oh, it's a miracle. The breath, the heartbeat. This one more day, it's a miracle. Some of us in this room, we see it. It's so crystal clear. As I look around this room this morning, there are some heroes of the faith. When I look at them, I see them. I'm just encouraged. They navigate blessings and challenges with an eye to heaven. And this morning, as they're here, their worship has just been so rich and real and unhindered. And they recognize the miracle of every day and the miracle of your constant pursuit and your amazing grace. Some of us are here this morning, and it's hard to be here for a whole host of reasons. For some of us, it's the first time we've walked into a church for a long time, and it's scary. We felt betrayed or forgotten or lost or unseen. And it's a risk this morning. Some of us, it's hard because we're just walking through the motions. It's, something inside is dull. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that your word would be experienced as it is promised in the New Testament. For you say that your word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Father, this morning I would ask that like the scalpel, like maybe a laser in the hands of the master surgeon, that you would reach in and you would maybe remove a layer of numbness from some of us. God, I just am convinced there's some here this morning that need a softening of that external tissue. Some of us, Father, need some healing because there's a wound, and it feels like it's just on the surface and it gets touched over and over again and it's hard. And Father, I'm praying that you would salve that wound. And some of us this morning, Father God, just want to bask in your radiance, get lost for a few moments in your wonder and your glory. And through the power of your word, may that happen. May the worship continue. You know where every one of us is this morning. Speak. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you for praying with me. Would you give a thank you to the worship team? If you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to open it to the book of Matthew. This is your first time with us. It's our habit to saturate our Sunday mornings with Scripture. And we not only read a Scripture and walk through Scripture, but I have a tendency to take us all over different verses in the Bible. So the screens are going to be important. They won't have all the scriptures. They'll have most of the scriptures, so you can follow along on the screen. We also have an app. We use the YouVersion app. I won't walk through all that, but you can find us on YouVersion, and there's notes for the teaching this morning. And in fact, I highly encourage you to take some notes this morning. One of the regrettable things about not being in a formal church building is we don't have those pews with pins in them. You know, I know that sounds like a small thing, but I think taking notes when we open with God's word is so important for your journey. So maybe you don't have a pen, pull out your phone and take some notes this morning. You know, some of you got a fancy phone with a notes section, and just write down some things that God's speaking to you. I'm not sure that I will offer you too much that's profound, but here's what I'm absolutely convinced about, is that this blows me away week in and week out when we gather. I'll have people on their way out grab my hand and say, man, that was for me. And it's just amazing when we read Scripture how God reaches exactly where you are. And I just want to encourage you to write some of those things down this morning. God's going to speak to you. You hear that? God is going to speak to you this morning. Okay, so we'll begin from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. Just a few verses here. We're going to read the first 8 verses. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem, in Judea. For that is what the prophet has written, you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Merry Christmas. The wonder and miracle of Christmas is Emmanuel. You see this on the screen, Emmanuel, and it means God with us. The gospel writer John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the one and only. The miracle of Christmas is the presence of God with us. Christmas is the evidence of God's presence. That's what Christmas is. Christmas isn't elves. I like elves. It's not candy canes. I like candy canes. It's not Christmas trees. I like Christmas trees and lights and presents. All of those things. Christmas is really the evidence of God's presence with us. And the evidence of God's presence with us begs the question. I mean, maybe the most relevant question is, if Christmas is the evidence of God's presence, how do I experience that presence? So it's not lost on me that Emmanuel, this is not the first time you've heard the word Emmanuel. You see it, you know it, you've heard it before. The challenge for most of us is that moving it from the intellectual understanding to the personal experience of knowing God and his presence. How do I do that? Now, honestly, one of my favorite parts around the events of Christmas is the Magi. I dig it. Now, honestly, the Magi are also very mysterious. We don't know a ton about the Magi. Maybe one of the things that we can know the most, the thing that we can be the most confident about the Magi, is oddly that the one myth about the Magi that we keep repeating is the one thing that likely is not true. Anybody want to take a guess? We three kings of Orient. Like, the myth of the Magi is that there's these three dudes. And we can say with the highest level of certainty that is not true. That it wasn't just three dudes. This is probably an entire group of people. This is think of it as a band of students and teachers. people that have devoted their lives to philosophy, to astronomy, to the search for truth. These are people that devoted themselves. They have a high level of curiosity, and they devoted themselves to understanding what is happening and what is true about the world and what it is that God might be doing. And they happened to show up in Jerusalem. Now, this may seem a little bit far-fetched for you, but oddly, this is not a strange occurrence in the ancient world. In fact, there's other accounts of the Magi showing up, a group of these traveling teachers and students showing up. There's one in AD 66. A group of Magi showed up to hang out with Nero. It wasn't weird in that time for their object of their journey to be Jerusalem. In David Guzik's commentary on Matthew chapter 2, he writes, there was a general expectation of a Messiah or a great man from Judea. Not very long after Jesus was born, the Roman historian Suetonius wrote, there had spread over all the Orient an old and established belief that it was fated at that time for men coming from Judea to rule the world. Tacitus, another Roman historian of the same general period, wrote, there was a firm persuasion that at this very time the East was to grow powerful and rulers coming from Judea were to acquire a universal empire. There is sort of an expectation during that time that something cool was going to happen in Jerusalem. So even though here in the 21st century you think, that seems weird, I want you to know it wasn't that terribly strange at that time in history for people, this traveling band of students and learners, to show up in Jerusalem. Now, I'm not here to convince you of the Magi, specifically where they came from or what they did. What I want you to see that is so miraculous and so powerful, so life-changing, is the journey that they were on. The thing that stands out and the thing that changed not only the world but changed the lives of these people was the journey that they set out on. Now, so when we are talking about, like, how do we move from this intellectual understanding of Emmanuel, God with us, to really experiencing him, we need to understand that experiencing Jesus requires a journey. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but just the fact that Jesus existed does not automatically change your world. In fact, during Jesus' life, there were tons of people that were like, I see him. He's real. I believe he exists. And their lives weren't changed. There were tons of people during Jesus' time that stood in close proximity of Jesus, but their close proximity of Jesus didn't change their lives. Do you know there's many people that talked to him, that touched him, but they weren't changed? A few chapters after this, in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew will record this moment where Jesus is walking through a city, and Jesus has become famous, and so, like, crowds come out, and Matthew says the place is just absolute chaos. Like, there's people everywhere. You guys ever been someplace like that? When Seahawks game or something, you got to navigate your way through the crowds. And so Jesus is navigating his way through the city, and like hundreds, if not thousands, of people are touching him. And then one nameless person, sets off on a journey, quietly, on her own, in her own darkness and pain. She says, I must simply touch Jesus. And so she fights all the intellectual barriers and the relational barriers, and she gets up one morning and leaves her place. She sees this enormous crowd, and she doesn't go back home. It's too crowded out there. Instead, she presses through, and she fights her way through the entire crowd, quietly and quietly, pressing through every barrier. And she sneaks up behind Jesus. And Matthew says that in all this chaos, she reaches out and touches, anybody remember? Just the hem of his garment. Imagine somebody right now just barely touching the edge of your coat. Jesus stops. He turns to his disciples and he says, anybody remember? Who touched me? And I'm doing a little bit of translation. I will just talk it through a little bit. But essentially, the disciples said, are you kidding me? Everybody's touching you. Look around. Everybody. What do you mean who touched you? Everybody is touching you. Let this sink in for a moment. Because you see, sometimes we think close proximity to Jesus and Jesus things, spirituality, a great and awesome grandma, an awesome spouse that prays is enough. Jesus turns and he finds this woman. Their eyes lock in the middle of the crowd, and Jesus says to her, your faith has healed you. And by the way, it's really interesting. The word healed here that Jesus uses is the same word that's translated all through the New Testament that is also translated saved. Your faith has saved you. Now, friends, it's not because she was in close proximity to Jesus. It's not because she simply acknowledged that he exists, he lives. She bumped into him or hugged him. It's because she was on a journey. She set out on a journey of faith. And this journey of faith ended with her own experience of Emmanuel. Here in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew opens up, like imagine with me, he opens up the stage. And the curtains are pulled back. And Matthew says, look at the stage, guys. It's crammed full of actors. The whole stage, there's business people and politicians and soldiers and counselors and the king. Next to the king is like religious leaders who know the Bible inside and out. And crammed on the corner of the stage is a little group of learners. And the only thing that sets them apart is they've set out on a journey. And Matthew says, of all the people on that stage, only one group will encounter Emmanuel, who will experience the presence of Jesus himself, and it is those people alone. It's why, by the way, that Herod, in a really prophetic way, in verse 8, says something. Now, by the way, if you think it's a stretch for me to say Herod's prophetic, all through the Bible, God uses ridiculous people. Thank you. Pete said, praise the Lord for that. Some of you might remember the Bible talks about how God, he moves Pharaoh like the water in his hands. God used the most evil empires and evil leaders. The Old Testament even one time says that God spoke through a donkey. And I want you and I just to recognize Herod is an evil dude. There's not much more evil. But in verse 8, I don't know if you caught it. In verse 8, Herod turns to the Magi and he says, go and search carefully for the child. And when he says, go and search carefully, he uses a word, there's a Greek word here that means this, investigate, examine. He's not just saying, go take a trip. He's saying, the journey to examine the truth about God, his movement, his love for you, his sending of his son Jesus is the most important thing that you can do. If the claims of Jesus are true, you should set out on a journey right now. Examine. Explore. The truth is, Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection was not for inspiration or observation, it was for invitation. I want to take you to the most well-known verse in the entire Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That phrase, that whoever believes, that's an invitation. God has done something amazing. And so now he invites you to respond to his work, his movement. If you want to, or you hope to move from just acknowledging through your head that Jesus is the presence of God to experiencing him, it requires you and me setting off on a journey of exploration. What is true, just like those magi? Okay, so what do I mean when I say journey? I want to talk a little bit. I'm going to share with you three things about the characteristic of a journey to experience and what it all means. So to understand the journey, I think we need to first understand the headwaters of this journey. Like, what's the beginning of the journey? And I think it's super important for us to understand that the beginning of this journey that you and I are invited to go off on is God himself. This one won't be on the screen, but in John chapter 15, Jesus said these words, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." What's that say? What's that mean? It means from the very beginning of your life, God has had his eye on you. Like, God right now is on a journey. God is on this grand adventure. And the object of his adventure is you. And when I say you, I don't mean just the general, like, humanity. That's true. But I also mean very specifically, he is passionate about you. This is something that God has begun. John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus says, "Nobody can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day." In John chapter 12, Jesus said, "When I am lifted up from earth, I will draw all people to myself." This is something God is doing. He's drawing you. You're here this morning. Not because of your own initiative, but because God has been pursuing you. That's why I love to talk about Revelation 3:20. If you're around here, I talk about it all the time. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Isn't that cool? Some of you don't know what I'm saying yet because this is the first time you heard it. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "I want you to know where I am right now." Like 2025, what is today, the 21st? December 21, 2025. You want to know where Jesus is right now? What's he doing? He's on your front doorstep. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And whoever opens the door. And so that you see the issue here is that we often don't just stop and recognize the wonder and the miracle. You know, like when I was praying earlier, I was talking about the miracle of life. Isn't it miraculous to you that God didn't give up on you yet? It is to me. Wow. Let's remember that the beginning of this journey is God. The headwaters of this journey is God himself. The second is the journey is a natural response. So God's movement, God's initiative does not remove our responsibility. I want to say that again, because I think sometimes that gets confusing. Okay, if God's doing this, pastor guy, what does this have to do with me? If God's doing it, can't he just do it minus me? And the answer is maybe he could, but he doesn't. He looks for men and women who will respond to him. And I think you probably understand that. Like, is it weird to you? Like, just for a moment, let's just for a moment think about this. You're at Walmart tomorrow. And you're at Walmart, and as you're going through Walmart, you see Steve Jones. And you're like, how weird. I would never expect to see Steve Jones in Walmart. And then Steve does that. Wouldn't that be kind of weird? Like, you see somebody from a distance, you're like, hey, Mike! Mike! And Mike's like, that would be kind of strange, wouldn't it? Or how about this? And this really works for Christmas time, what if you took a ton of thought and time and money and got the perfect gift and put it in the perfect box and like, you didn't just do the normal, but you took like 30 minutes to crease the gift wrap, and you made it perfect and bought the perfect matching bow, and you put it on there and you wrote on it, John. And you brought it and you placed it on my lap, and I just stared through you. I mean, you probably would say, I didn't do it for a response, but man, what's up with John? Some of you, maybe it's a lot hard to remember back this far, but some of you, you can remember back when you first met her. You saw her and you, like something was, you had, every time you talked, like you had these weird feelings inside, butterflies, you know, and after like, I don't know, a few dates, you've just been wanting to say those three scary words, but you just can't. And eventually you get enough courage to look across the table and just say, you remember the three scary words? I love you. And how your whole life would have changed if they just would have gotten up from the table and walked away. You know what I'm saying? Like, you initiate, you put it out there, and then there's no response. That's strange and it's weird. The truth is that God has done this amazing thing to pursue you. He gave his one and only son for you, and it's normal and natural and healthy for you to say, whoa, I mean, at least, whoa, I should look into this. I have some level of responsibility, and the truth is that's what God expects of you. Like in the book of Acts, Paul is with a gathering of people, and he's talking about the general movement of God in the world and how God's pursuing people. And in Acts chapter 17, he says, God did all this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. So the journey, like God is on this journey to pursue you, and he's looking for you to respond, to wake up, and respond to this miraculous movement of God. 2 Chronicles 16 says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God's looking for men, women, and children who will lift up their eyes from their widgets, from their distractions, and respond. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, you might say this morning, I kind of get that, but I just don't see God's pursuit of me. And I will tell you that I understand that, but it stands in such contrast to Scripture. Scripture tells us that God's pursuit of you is evident. Just a little, one brief little verse. You could read a little more about this later. Romans 1:20. So since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood. What has been made so that people, this is important, friends, people are without excuse. So while I say that this is a natural response, I'm not saying that if it hits you, man, follow it. I'm saying don't miss it. Because his pursuit of you is evident. And there's no longer any time for you to continue to pretend that it is not true. There's no excuse, man. The third thing about the journey is the journey, the whole journey, is a faith decision. I think these magi, honestly, I think it would be disingenuous to suggest that the magi at this moment were like believers in Jesus. I don't think at this particular moment they're like all in. But that doesn't mean that they're not exhibiting faith. In fact, the journey requires a lot of small decisions of faith along the way. And small doesn't mean insignificant. Jesus is really clear about small decisions of faith. He's like, sometimes the smallest step is all it takes. You guys have probably heard this before, but Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, it's like a mustard seed. You know, you guys familiar with the mustard seed? Tiny, tiny, tiny seed, right? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants. You don't have to have a big and glorious faith. You don't have to wait for a lightning bolt to hit you to do something. You don't have to wait for the planets to align and for you to get that wiggle in your giggle. You don't have to wait for that. You just have to act on the little bit of faith that you have right now. The Magi, the very first step, just to like examine truth, to open ancient books, to see what is true, to look up at the stars and say, is there a connection between what I'm reading and the reality around me? All of those were faith steps. For them to say, for just a little bit of my life, I'm not going to pursue money, but I'm going to pursue truth, was a faith step. You following me? It was a faith step to say, hey, we're going to leave what's comfortable and head out on a journey, which, by the way, we don't know how it's going to end. That's a cool faith step. It was a faith step to walk into the palace of a foreign king. And this was their greeting. Hey, king, we're just here to find the next king. How do you think that was going to go? I mean, that was a big faith step to sit in the room. And by the way, these guys, they're called wise men. So they're super attentive to everything. Do you not think that they were attentive to the vibe in the palace room? Like, they were like, yeah, something weird is going on here. This is weird. And why is it that we're here? And the place where the king of the Jews would be born in, and nobody's interested in it. Maybe we made a grand and glorious mistake. We're the only people interested in truth. Maybe we ought to go back home. No, it took a faith step for them to say, we're going to go on to Bethlehem even though nobody else is going with us. And some of you feel that way sometimes. Like you're the only one in your friend group. You're the only one in your family. You're the only one. Is it worth it to take another step? You're the only one trying in this marriage. You're the only one trying in this home. You're the only one. Is it still worth it? It takes a faith step, man. Amen? Does it mean that they're there yet? No, but they're taking baby steps after baby steps. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock, it said in Revelation 3:20. And if anybody just hears my voice and takes a baby step, just opens the door. Isn't that cool? He's not inviting you to like conjure up something that doesn't exist, but just to act on what you have in front of you now and take a baby step. We talk about Emmanuel, God with us. The birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus was not for inspirational purposes. It was an invitation for you to experience. And to experience the presence of Jesus requires you setting out on a journey. That's what he's inviting you to do. Now, what's that mean for you? I'm not sure exactly what your next step is, but I have a strong sense this morning that you know a next step. That's what I was talking about earlier when I said to you, I want you to take some notes. God's going to speak. Like in this room this morning, I'm convinced that you're not here on accident. This morning you woke up, you're thinking about something. This last week you've been wrestling with some stuff. You ran into a friend, you've had a conversation, and this morning after we've been walking through Scripture, you don't know that where the end is going to be, but you know the next step that God wants you to take. So I want to encourage you right now to take it. It might be making a commitment. So in a minute, we're going to have another moment of prayer. And it might be for you, just between you and God, say, okay, man, I've been pushing this one down the road a long time. You know that old adage, I've been kicking the can? And you've been kicking this can a long time. And let me encourage you. Don't kick it any longer. Take a step. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Would you pray with me? I thank you for this reminder this morning that you are pursuing me. You're inviting me to just lift my eyes up from distraction. It is miraculous. Not only how you sent your son Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, born in a manger so many years ago, living, teaching, walking, dying, resurrected, then to stand at the door of my life, this broken life, and pursue me every day, that is miraculous. Father, throughout this room, I have a hope that there's been some men and some women who have made a decision to plant a little seed of faith and to take a step. And I pray in Jesus' name that they would see and experience over the next 24 hours, 24 days, 24 months, a seed that sprouts and grows branches and becomes like the largest of the garden plants, provides shade for everything. I pray that today's decision would yield incredible, beautiful fruit. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We are going to conclude this part of our service by taking the Lord's Supper together. So you can see there's some tables up here on my right and my left. Jesus invites us to celebrate his life, his death, his resurrection by taking the Lord's Supper together. And we don't take this because we got it all figured out. Nobody who walks up here to take these elements has hit it out of the park this week. It's finally achieved spiritual stardom. We all here recognize that we need Jesus in our lives. And so we come to take this because of our need and our remembrance this morning of our need for him. So I want to encourage you, if you've asked Jesus into your life, to come and take these elements with us. If you're not someone who's yet given your life to Jesus, we would ask that you'd refrain. The scripture gives us some caution about just walking through this, brainlessly or mindlessly. And this is the same for children. If you have a child with you this morning, if they have invited Jesus in their life, bring them with you up here. Let them take the communion, the elements. If your child is with you and they haven't asked Jesus in their life, bring them with you and talk them through what this all means, and that one day they will celebrate it with you. But you come when you're ready. In a few minutes, the team here is going to lead us through a song. And then after this, we have a couple more things in our service. So thank you so much.
seats. We invite you to stand and join us and continue worshiping today as you feel led.
Having our giving back to God moment, and go ahead and let's come, and we'll be passing some baskets. We would like for you to drop in your connection card. Many people will also use this as a time to financially give to the mission of God in this city. Some of you, I know nearly every December, as the year comes to a close, are asking some questions about where you might invest in the kingdom. And this is a good opportunity for me to share with you that this city is in desperate need of the gospel. This city, our neighborhood, our neighbors need the gospel. And so God has placed in this city this church. And this church only happens because of the investment of God's people. And that means your prayers and your time, but it also means the financial resources. So as this year comes to a close, some of you may be wondering how you could make a difference. And I'd like to ask you to consider maybe even making a year-end donation. We're not going to be gathering here next Sunday in person. We're going to be online. And so I'd like you to prayerfully consider making an investment in God's kingdom through this church. God's doing amazing things in this church. And your financial investment changes lives. And so I would like you just to be prayerful. Some of you, when you hear this, you're like, I don't know. But I think there might be some in this room who might be saying, God, I'd like to do something before the end of the year. And just consider, you can give by going to our website. We always have QR codes, by the way, and so you could get one of these. We have a team of people that help with generosity. Don't come ask me. I don't want to know what anybody gives. Whether you give $1 or $1 million, I want none of that business. But there's a team of people. One of the people is Abby. Abby leads a team of people. If you ever have a question and you want to talk about how you could make a difference financially, certainly talk to her. Or you can talk to Bobby. I'm going to invite Bobby back up here. Bobby's going to kind of bring our service to a close. And Bobby's a good friend and a really important leader in our community of faith. So you're going to be blessed, by the way, next week. So by the way, this is how this goes. We're talking about how to experience the presence of God. And so today was kind of, we talked about the journey. On Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about the wonderful surrender. And then next weekend, we're going to talk about reflection. Like, how do you reflect back in such a way that in 2026, you can experience walking in the presence of God in a way that you haven't? And so Bobby's going to be leading us through that experience this next Sunday. So I'm going to hop off the stage and let Bobby share some more things with you. But thank you guys so much. Merry Christmas.
Great word, Pastor John. Listen, I got a couple invitations for you, and then we'll get you to your Sunday. Number one is Christmas Eve survey is when? Well, Christmas Eve, yeah. Let's try that again. What time? 4 and 6. Y'all are doing good. Listen, so in order for us to do that, we need to set up the auditorium. If you can, stay a little bit longer. If you've got decoration in your blood, we'd love for you to help us out. And Maggie Amith is going to, can you raise your hand, Maggie? Maggie's going to be in charge of that. So if you'd like to stay and help us out, we really love it. We'd also love your help setting up in there. So everything that's here, we need to move over there. So we'd love your help. If you can stay a little bit after service today and help us out, we'd really appreciate that. Merry Christmas. Have a good week.